Is there any parasha that has a storyline as great as Parshas Vayeshev, should please tell me. Because this parasha, as we know, is a gripping parasha, how Yosef goes from literally from rags to riches, how he's sold by his own brothers, how he becomes from the despised brother to the melech that he dreamt of all this time. And it's a float, the parasha is a float. Yosef is born in a previous parasha and talks about Yaakov favoring Yosef and gives him a ksenas pasim, and the brothers dislike him and he has his dreams. And the parasha goes and continues talking about how eventually they sold him. A very, very unfortunate parasha which he still suffered from. And then, right in the middle of the parasha Lamed Ches, it completely knocks you off target. The parasha begins, Vayehi ve'esahi, vayered Yehuda me'es ochiv. Yehuda. And here we have the parasha of Yehuda and Tamar, which is a whole parasha of Lamed Ches. And then Lamed Ches continues with this fascinating story about Yosef going down to Mitzrayim and Potiphar and his rise of power in the jail from one to the other. He's sold and he becomes... the whole story. The obvious question is, why does the Torah separate and divide the parash into two with the parash of Yehuda and Tom in the middle? Okay? There's no flow and it doesn't happen exactly then. You could have waited a little bit later. A muktamum ucha b'Torah. There's no problem with putting things a little bit later in the Torah. Why did Torah separate and divide this unbelievable story with a sort of a huge parenthesis, this huge story of Yehuda and Tamar right in the middle of Parshas Mechiras Yosef? That's firstly. Secondly, and this is really part of the answer already, is what on earth is going on over here in Parshas Yehuda and Tamar? What is happening here? Rabbi Yisai, we have no capacity to fathom the gadlus of the Shvatim. The biggest gadol hador today is nowhere compared to the Shvatim then. It's not shaykh to understand the gadlus of the Shvatim. One cannot understand their physical strength, never mind their spiritual strength. Incredible. 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 Shiftei koh. Incredible. The children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, but cannot even fathom the greatness. They kept Chol HaTorah Kulo. They kept all the mitzvahs. Everything. Unbelievable. They're dealing with Gedolei Hador Mamash. Right? Beyond our wildest dreams. This is Shvatim. And here we have a case where Yehuda has three sons. Er, Oinon, and Shelah. There's a woman who married Er. Er died because of an Avera. Oinon married her. Oinon died because of the same Avera. And now, the Shida was that she's supposed to go to Shelah, to do Yibum with Shelah. And he refuses, Yehuda refuses to give Shelah because he's afraid that by marrying Tamar again, the same thing will happen again. Again, oversimplifying the story, but that's more or less what happens. What does she do? She dressed up as a woman of the night. Right? She dressed up as a prostitute. And there she was, decided she's going to entice Reuven, because you can do Yibum, through a father-in-law, doesn't have to be through a brother in that time. Yehuda. Done through Yehuda. And she does in a way where she's going to entice Yehuda by attracting him to this Zoyna, to this prostitute, and by doing that, that is how Yibum is going to be performed. Against his wishes. Now, one second. You're dealing here with Yehuda, Tamar. Chas v'shalom, you really think Yehuda's going to be doing such things? Do you think Yehuda's going to be enticed? Yehuda's going to run 1,000 miles away from anything close. What is your plan? It's completely flawed. What are you thinking? You're going to dress up and you're going to entice Yehuda. Come on! That's ridiculous! Number two, what actually happened? Yehuda was enticed. What happened there? And furthermore, Rabbi Yisai, you know what happened from this parasha? From this parasha began the whole shevet of Yehuda of Malachim. Malachim of kings, of Mashiach, of David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, Mashiach. It all had to be done through a crazy, crazy chain of events. Something so bizarre, so unusual, so unexpected, that is how it came out. Why could not be brought out in a way where David HaMelech is born from a clean yichus? Brought from a regular case where Reuben marries Sarah, and somebody is born. Finished! And David HaMelech is born. Has to be born through this bizarre situation of Yehuda and Tamar and tricking him, and he gets tricked, and he's about to kill Tamar because she thought she did Znus, and Yehuda says, no, it's not coming many, it's from me, and he admitted. What is going on over here? Why did that have to happen? So let's understand the characters of this story. And if you get to see who they really are, we see a phenomenal understanding of exactly why this parasha is here and how this parasha is working. The pasuk says as follows: "V'yoyme Yehuda la'ochiv." Previous parasha. The Tosefta says, "Mipnei ma zocha Yehuda l'malchus." Why was Yehuda zocha to malchus? Why did Yehuda merit that malachim should come from him, that kings should come from him? It's because he saved his brother from death. It's referring to Yosef, obviously. Shneim other pasuk says, "Vayoyim Yehuda el Ochiv." Yehuda said to his brothers, "Ma betza? What will we gain? Kinare gesachinu if we kill our brothers, v'chisinu es domoy and cover up his blood." Okay, that's what Yehuda did in order to save Yosef from being killed by his brothers. Now, through this parasha, there's two particular mahalchim, which we're going to be working through. It's Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz and Rabbi Yerucham Levitz. There's two different mahalchim. Rav Chaim Shmuel has been quoting various times in different places, but you see his breakdown of this parasha, how he takes this parasha and he brings out, through such simple questions, such unbelievable understanding of what's going on over here. It's just, every year I'm flabbergasted. Rav Chaim Shmuel says like this. Yehuda says, "Brothers, stop. Ma bets of all we gain, kinare gesachinu v'chisin es domoy, if you kill our brother and cover up his blood. I mean, what do we gain? This wasn't stam a slapdash decision. This was based on a din Torah. The brothers sat down and they paskened it in a beis din. They sat down and it took Yosef to a din Torah. Yosef stood there and they brought evidence against him that he is chayv misa. He is a roideif. He's out there to pursue them, to kill them, killing them from Olam Abba. They showed and they proved that he's a Reidev. He's a Chayv Misa. This wasn't some, you know, an anger, wasn't road rage, just shoot him in the head because he cut you off. This was something real. This is Din Torah. This was an absolute basedim. So Yehuda comes along and he says, stop, don't kill him. Ma betza, what will we gain, kinara yesachinu, if you kill our brothers, v'chisin es domi, cover up his blood? I mean, what do you gain? Who's talking about gaining or losing? We're talking about Din Torah here. Of course we don't want to kill our brother, but that's what we have to do. What's my betzah? What does that mean? Says Rechaim Shmulevitz. If the Din Torah requires us, at the end of the day, to have to cover up what we're doing, there's something wrong with that Din Torah. If we've come to a psak that we cannot stand up and say, you know why we've come to this pesach? Because X, Y, Z, and you don't like it, your problem, but we have come to this because we've decided that is so and prove where it's from. If we've got to hide behind ourselves and cover up the story, there's something fundamentally wrong with our Din Torah. It cannot be that a Domo Shebe Kedusha, something that is correct, has to be a cover-up. If we cannot actually say that we are the ones who did it because of a particular reason, we have to cover up and lie and swindle and pretend it never happened, there's something fundamentally wrong with that Din Torah. Says Yehuda, Ma betza, what do we gain? Ki chesino es domo, you're going to cover up his blood. There's something badly wrong with this. By the way, the Kotzker says exactly the same. If you cannot put your finger and say, I'm doing it because X, Y, Z, then there is something fundamentally wrong. You know, you get these letters, anonymous, B'Shem, Havad, Hakila, Hakadosha, whatever it is. If a person cannot put a name to it, say, by the way, I'm the one who wrote this letter because I'm furious about X, Y, Z, and I want you to come, I want to bring you to task over this, then this letter's worth nothing. You know, these little things that get chucked around the streets. You don't read these. If a person cannot put a name to it, don't read it. Unless a person can ultimately say, I'm doing this because of this, and say why, it cannot be correct to kill our brothers if you've got a cover up. In other words, Yehuda was the one who was the first to claim responsibility and say, if we cannot show why we're responsible for this and take on responsibility, there's something fundamentally flawed with our logic. And let's carry on with this. And the same theme goes all the way through. The pasuk says that Yehuda stood up later on. Parshas Yigash, he's the one who stood up. But he said early on, the Medrash says, "Mipnei ma zoch Yehuda l'malchus." Why was Yehuda zoicha to malchus? Mipnei shehoida b'masa tomo, because Yehuda admitted to maisa tomo. In other words, this story later on in the parasha with Tomo about to be killed, and she sends along these various items for Yehuda to recognize that they're his items, and therefore she's pregnant from him, and you know, in a way that nobody else should know about it. We'll see later on how that was done. And Yehuda admits that it was him. Yehuda admits, yes, sodka mimeni, she's correct, it's from me, and therefore by doing so, she's not chayv misa, because it's really the correct thing to do, and Yehuda was incorrect for what he did, and she says sodka mimeni. Says the Medrash, not only was Yehuda zoicha to malchus because he admitted to maisa tomo, but the Medrash says in Yalkut Shemayni, Zocha limloich al ochiv bo'olam hazeh u'bo'olam habo. He is zoicha to rule over his brothers in this world and in the next world. He is also zoicha la'aragis oyavov, to kill his enemies. Also, sheyam d'menem alochim, that kings should come out from him. And also, hatzolas chananya mishol v'azari v'daniel b'schusli. Chananya mishol v'azari was saved, and Daniel was saved, because of Yehuda's chus. Unbelievable zechus for standing up and saying, "Rabbi Yisai, it's me." Ask Rabbi Leib Chassman. Ask Rabbi Leib Chassman. What happens if Yehuda would not have admitted? What would have happened over here? Tomar and the twins inside her would have died. Tomar and the twins inside would have died. So what's a big deal standing up and saying, "It's from me"? Three innocent people would die if you did not admit the mistake. Is that so great? People are dying, you're going to be burnt by the stake because you are not man enough to admit it. Of course anyone would do that. What's such a big deal? Malachim come from him, what's a big deal? Says Rav Leib Chassman, ultimately we see that that is not so. If a person makes a mistake, he'll do everything he possibly can to cover it up. He'll try and minimize the damage. He'll try and make sure that his mistake does not cause too many people harm. But ultimately, at the end of the day, if it's his name versus innocent people being killed, he will make sure that his name remains clean. That is human nature. Human flawed nature. He will look after himself. Ein odon roye nigga atzmoy. A person does not see something that's wrong with himself. He doesn't see it. It must be because of this, it must be because of that. And you know what? If I admit it, what will be with my family? What a chil Hashem! How can I do this to my wife and kids if I admit this? The answer is you say everything and not admit it, but three innocent people can die. That's what can happen. That's what can happen. You know, people drive, Rahman al-Sani, there's an accident, and a person runs over a child in the street. So what do some people do? They drive off. Instead of stopping, calling the ambulance, and taking the consequence of saving this child's life, they drive off, leaving the child to bleed to death. Why? Because you can't take responsibility for your actions. Yehuda to stand up and say, "I am wrong. She is right. I was a responsible party over here." That is Zoicha to Malchus. A general feeling is, you know what? I'm not responsible. To hell with everyone else. I'm going to look after myself. That is a general feeling. Yehuda is all about taking responsibility. We are called Yehudim. We're called Jews. Because we are impressed with Yehuda. Somebody who can stand up and say, "You know what? We're incorrect. We're wrong. I admit that I'm wrong. You're right." That is Malchus. That is greatness. That's leadership. And that was the Koyach of Yehuda. A phenomenal thing. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, when he started the Muslim movement, which was totally, unbelievably Lashem Shemayim, he had huge amounts of opposition. Wherever he spoke, there was one ilui, one genius that would go along and try and antagonize him and ask him questions to prove him wrong. In one particular case, he gave a beautiful shtikl Torah, and this ilui, this genius, stood up and he started questioning Rabbi Yisrael Salanta from a different source. And it was a very, very good kasha. Rabbi Yisrael Salanta stopped and he went down. So he said, "Well, why do you do this?" He said, "You should know, at that time I had five different terutzim. And in my, and I could have answered any of these five different Tirutzim, and this person that asked that question would have been answered. And in my head, what's going on over here? What will be with the Muslim movement? What will be with the Yisrael Salanta? What will be with the influence in the world? And I shut it all down. You know what I said? MS is MS. You've got to take responsibility for what you're saying. If it's wrong, you've got to say it's wrong. Not come with cheshbonus. Same thing happened with the Mshach, by the way. If it's wrong, you've got to stand up and say it's wrong. That is responsibility. That is leadership. And that is Yehuda. Yosef is another king. Yosef, Nishik's parasha, is another king. You see later on in the parasha, Yosef was put under enormous pressure by Ishus Potiphar to go along and do terrible, terrible averus. And it was a shame Shemayim. She saw at Nevoah that they're going to be together in Olam Abba. She's working shame Shemayim. She's working in a way that was almost impossible for him to resist. What did he say to her? The Pasuk says, the wife of the Eishes Potiphar said to Yosef, come be with me. What did Yosef say to her? And he refused. I would say to a person like this, it's a terrible affair, I can't do this. What did he say? Einenu gadol b'bayis hazeh mimeni. There's nobody more responsible in this house than me. How can I do this bad thing and I'll be sitting against the Kodesh Baruch Hu? In other words, what's Yosef saying? Not saying it's a terrible Avera. I am responsible. I have been trusted. I have been given trust by somebody. How can I possibly go against the trust of somebody who trusted me? That is the biggest Avera in the Torah. The biggest Avera in the Torah, more than Gila Arayis, is going against trust. Being in a responsible position and not taking responsibility. That is stronger than Avera itself. Being in a position where you're trusted by the husband and you go against his trust and you don't take responsibility and say, you know what? I am in trust and I'm going to take this trust and work with it as best I possibly can and provide for you for what you trusted me for. That is v'chatos l'kim, is the greatest Avera. That is again, that is... I'm not sure who says this. I think Reb Leib Chassman says this as well. This is the idea of responsibility. So that is Yehuda. Yehuda was great. Yehuda became a melech because he was responsible. He was the one who stood up. And ultimately, he says, we cannot do anything that's got to cover up something. We've got to make sure that we can say it's from me. And even that is so difficult to do that the Chazal say that generally a regular person allows three people to die rather than take that responsibility. Yehuda was not like that, and therefore that is why Melochim came from him. Let's see Toma now. The Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Ches, Pasuk Chof Hei, the story is obviously that Yehuda was enticed by Tamar, and she said, I need from you three things. I need from you your signet ring, your psilcho, your stick, your cloak, or matcha, and your stick. So your signet ring, your robe, and your stick. And that should be as a collateral, as a robin. The next day, Yehuda sent Gedi Izim, some goats to her, she wasn't there, etc., etc. A few months later, they found she's pregnant, and they want to take out to kill her. And she sends back to her father-in-law and says, he might say, for he shall el chamiyah. She says to her father-in-law, leimor le'ish asher eid eloi, the one who this belongs to, anoichi hora, I'm pregnant. But toimer, she says, hakino, recognize, lemi hachisemes hapsidim amate eilo, who do these things belong to? Vayaki Yehuda, and Yehuda says, sod komi meni, she's very righteous, it's from me. Says the Gemara, from this is a makor la halacha lemaisa. The Gemara brings us and we learn this halacha lemaisa. Noyach le adam shiyapel atzmoi b'teich kivshon ha'esh. It is more noyach, meaning it is more comfortable. It is easier for a person to jump in to a kivshon ha'esh, into a fiery furnace, va'al yalbim pnei chaver barabim, and not to embarrass somebody in public. Where do we learn this from? From Tamar. She's willing to be killed by the stake rather than embarrass Yehuda in any way. Okay. asks Chazal two questions. Number one, what's shat noyach loy? It's more comfortable. Chayiv Odom! Chayiv Odom to jump into a fire rather than embarrass somebody in public. What's noyach loy? What's more pleasant? What does that mean? Firstly. Secondly, I never understood how exactly she's covering up. In other words, the parasha is saying there's no way, listen carefully, there's no way anyone would have known who was responsible. Okay? And that's why she sent these things to Yehuda, recognize who these things belong to, and that's one I'm pregnant from. One second. What were these three things? A signet ring. What's a signet ring?
It's unique.
It has a signature on it. Yehuda. Right? It has a signature on it. I'm not saying who it's from, but, you know, this here is his personalized number plate. I'm not saying who it's from. And here is his stick. He probably had a beautiful Rebbe's stick. Yeah, with a silver top, and everyone recognized who this stick was. Now, I'm not saying who it was. Whoever the stick is, I'm not saying. Yeah, he probably had a beautiful frack, right? Which designed frack. I don't know. In Shechem, he had his frack made, and everyone knew what frack he wore, right? Now, I'm not saying it belongs to, but he's got what kind of thing is this? Cover up. I'm not going to say it belongs to, but who's his signet ring? You know, it doesn't make sense, and it's always bothered me that kasha year after year. Same kasha. Bosh, how does this work? So the Maril Diskin says that there's an extra word in the Pasuk that shows us what's going on. The Pasuk says, he might say, she brought out the clothing, and all these three things, for he sholcha el chamir lemo, and she sent to her father-in-law saying, le ish ashe eile loy anoichi horo. Okay, the man who these belong to, le ish ashe eile loy anoichi horo, I'm pregnant. Vatoimer, what's extra vatoimer? And she says, Hakino le miach esemas finim mataele. Recognize, please, who these belong to. What's his extra vatoimer? He just says, the pasuk, lemor say, and what's vatoimer? What's his two, what's second vatoimer? Do you see it in the pasuk? Perik lamedches pasuk chofei. Lemor say, le ish asha ele lo yinoi, I'm pregnant from the person who these belong to. Vatoimer, and she says, Hakino, recognize, please, le miach esemas finim mataele, who do these three things belong to?
Vatoimer, is it he said? No, she said.
She says, but she says, recognize who these three things belong to. It's what's going on. So he says, there are two separate shluchim being sent over here. One shliach was, please take these three things back to Yehuda. Please take three things back to Yehuda. These are Yehuda's things, take them back to him. Thank you very much. Back to Yehuda. The other message was, by the way, whoever these, you got a package now, whatever the package belonged to, that's the person I'm pregnant from. Two separate shluchim. They never met each other, they never spoke to each other. And by doing so, each one did not know what the other one did. One just delivered stuff back to Yehuda, and the other one said, by the way, whatever you receive the package from, that's one I'm pregnant from. But each one did not know at all the beginning of the story. And therefore, what she did was an ingenious act to make sure that Yehuda would not be embarrassed. She let all the evidence out of her hands, totally in the trust of Yehuda, and if that takes Yehuda not standing up and saying Sotkom Mimeni, she would be killed together with the two pregnant children. That is Tomo. Tomo does what has to be done. Tomo does not do what's comfortable. Tomo does not do what's best for her. She does what is best for Ruchnius, what is the correct thing to do. Not only is she willing to jump into the Kivshon Ha'esh, it's Noyachlo. It is easier for her. It is more comfortable for her to jump into the kitchen on her age than to embarrass somebody in public. It's not even a struggle. You know, Chas v'Shalom, a person has a fire at home. At one side of the house there's a huge blazing gas tank that's blown up, and the other side of the house there's an armchair that's on fire. What's easier for him to jump in? To jump in the small fire over the couch, or to jump in the big blazing gas tank that's blown up? Obviously, Noyachloy, it is more easy, it is more comfortable for her to jump in to the fire of Olam Hazeh than a fire of Olam Habo. It's more comfortable, it's posh, that's what makes sense. That is the correct thing to do. That is easier, it's more comfortable, it's more enjoyable for her. And it becomes so much part of her. What has to be done, she's going to do it, however difficult it is, because that is who she is, and it even becomes easy. That's Yehuda, and that is Tomo. That is leadership, and that is leadership. And together from those two, we created phenomenal melochim. Kings were created from people who could take responsibility. The question is, how did she even think that she's going to be successful? How does she think that she's going to dress up in a particular way and she's going to entice Yehuda? And how was Yehuda enticed, like we asked? Says the Gemara, Bikesh Yehuda Lavor, the Medrash says, Yehuda wanted to pass her by, and he had no intention, chas v'shalom, of getting involved with a woman he didn't recognize. V'zimen loy malach, and the malach came in front of him. V'omar loy, and he said to him, Yehuda, lehechen atahoylech, where are you going? Mehechem malachim oimdim, where will malachim come from if you don't do this particular act with this woman? Mehechem gedoylim oimdim, where would gedoylim come from unless you do this act? He was forced off the path by the Malach. The Malach told him straight, you have to do this. I'm giving you a shlichus from Rabbeinu Shleilam. You have to do this. He didn't want to do it. He had no intention to do it. You have to do it. So Yehuda did it, forced by a Malach. He knew that Klal Yisrael will not have a future unless he does this act. There'll be no Dovid HaMelech, there'll be no Shleilam HaMelech, there'll be no Mashiach. He has to do it. That's Yehuda. Okay, I can understand. What was Toma thinking? She never knew Malach's going to come. Says Rechaim Shmonevis, listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. Listen to this, Yisod. Tomor said to herself, something has to be done. When a leader's got to do something, you do not have to think from A until Z how it's going to be possible, how it's going to be feasible. A leader, says Tomor, is a leader has to do what they have to do right now, at their particular stage, their absolute maximum. If it takes right now for me to dress up, and that's all I can do now is to dress up and to be doing a particular act to entice Yehuda, if that's my maximum, that is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. I can't do anything more. That is what I should be doing. That is what I will be doing. You don't have to see and then what's going to happen, then what's going to happen. No, I have to do right now my absolute maximum. Less than that is osa. More than that is in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. She dressed up now. What she did to do, she had to dress up. She dressed up, and that's what she did. Finished. That's all she did, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu helped her. The pasuk says later on, way, way later, it talks about Klal Yisrael going into the Yam Suf. Yeah? And the pasuk says in the Yam Suf, now who jumped in the Yam Suf in the end? Kolev ben Nachshon ben Aminadov. From which tribe? The tribe of Yehuda. Rebbe Kiva Oimeh, Mipnei ma zoch Yehuda na Malchus. Why is Yehuda zoich to Malchus? Mipnei shekideish shmoi shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because he made a kiddush Hashem. Shekesha olu shvatim omed alayam, when all the shvatim were standing by the sea. Vezeh Oimeh, this man said, Ein zeh yoyerev, zeh Oimeh ein ani yoyerev, I'm not going to go in, you're not going to go in. Kofat shiftoi shel Yehuda. They shaved the hood and jumped in, but Yarad Betchila, and they went in first, but Kiddush Shmoish the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and the Mekadosh the name of the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And that's what it says. But Tzeis Yisrael, Mimitzrayim, when Kazal left Mitzrayim, Hoy so Yehuda the Kodshoi, Yehuda was the one who made the Kiddush Hashem, and therefore Yisrael Mamshel Osoi, and therefore Yisrael is Mamshel him. That's why he became the king over, the minister over Klal Yisrael. Yehuda shekideish moish haKadosh Baruch Hu alayom lefikach Yisrael mamshalosui. In other words, leadership over here by Yehuda won him malchus again. What's pshat in this? Asked Rechaim Shmulevitz. How can it possibly be that Klal Yisrael were afraid to go into the Yam Suf? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has asked to do much bigger things. You know, a person is also for a person to say, "I'm not a Jew." It's also for a person to bow to Avodah Zarah. Talk about Chanan and the seven sons. They stuck their neck out to be killed by the Melech. Why couldn't Klal Yisrael jump into the sea? Where's the Mesirus Nefesh? This doesn't seem like Klal Yisrael. Only Yehuda managed to jump into the sea. What happened? Answer of Chaim Shmulevitz, unbelievably, he said, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have asked them to jump into the raging sea and kill themselves, they all could have done it. That's Klal Yisrael. We have Mesirus Nefesh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked them to walk into the sea as if you're walking on dry land. Walk into the sea as if it's dry land. Don't focus on anything that's happening. Do your maximum right now. All I want from you, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to go into the sea thinking it's dry land. But it's not dry land. That's not what you should be thinking. If that's what I'm supposed to be doing, that is my maximum right now. That is what I will be doing. Not making any cheshbonus. But there's waves. That's Klal Yisrael. That's not Yehuda. That's not Yehuda. I have to do this. I will do it. I won't even think anything else but to do this. That is a leader. If something has to be done, well, what's going to happen after that? It doesn't make a difference. You've got to do what you have to do. Right now, your absolute maximum. If I've got to walk into the sea as if it's dry land, Yehuda can do it. The other Klal Yisrael didn't, and that's why he became the Melech. That is Malchus. That is Gadlus. Number one, taking responsibility. And number two, doing the absolute maximum right now, even though you do not necessarily see how it's going to eventually end. Doing a maximum right now. I want to move one stage further. Okay? There's a third stage, and we'll wrap it up, Baruch Hashem. The Pasuk says, Vayehi be'eis ahi, vayeyered Yehuda me'eis achiv. Vayeyered Yehuda me'eis achiv. Listen to this, Rabbi Yisai. And it was at that time, and Yehuda went down me'eis achiv from his brothers. Says Rashi, Vayehi be'eis ahi, lama nismachal parsha zu lekan. Why is this parsha of Tamar and Yehuda in the middle over here? Vehivsik the parshas of Shul Yosef. And interrupts the parasha of Yosef. Lelamed shahiriduhu ochiv migdulosoi. His brothers pushed him down from greatness. Kesharo b'tzaras aviyim. When they saw how much their father was suffering, omru, ato marta lamochroi. You told us to sell him. Ilu marta lashivoi. Well, you have told us to bring him back. Hayina shayim lacha would have listened to you. Well, that's not fair. 1 second. I told him to sell him. Yes. But what were you saying?
Kill him.
Kill him! So don't stop putting the blame on me. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Of course I told him to sell him, but you told him to kill him. So fine, now he's suffering. So the Pasuk says, Vayered Yehuda meis achiv. Yehuda went down from the respect his brothers gave him. Because it said it's your fault that he was sold. That's not fair. Carries on the Medrash says, why was it that we have this whole case over here of Yehuda's sons dying, says the Medrash? If a person begins a mitzvah and doesn't complete it, he is punished by burying his wife and children. That is why we have the whole idea over here of Yehuda and his children dying. Rabbi Isai, 1 second. I started a mitzvah. I didn't complete it. Nobody else started that mitzvah. I buried my wife and children, Rachman Litzan, because I didn't fulfill a mitzvah. What's going on over here? Says Yibiruchim, leadership is a responsibility. Leadership, if a person says, I'm the leader over here, he's got to take responsibility. You know, I always felt sorry when you watch, you know, major league football games, Rachman Litzan, and you see the goalie. Yeah, everyone's kicking around the ball. You got the midfield, you got the defense, and he got one goal. He lets in, and he loses a game because of that one goal. You know, he must be getting it in the changing room. I don't know what the manager's saying to him, but this poor guy must really be getting it, right? Poor chap. Let in one goal. And how many goals did you miss when you're trying to tackle him in a midfield? Yeah, you missed a good tackle there. You missed a ball. You headed it right to the opposition. Nothing. This guy gets away with it. This guy gets in a goal, boom, he gets yelled at. You lost us a game. The answer is, leadership comes with a price. You want to be a goalie? You got to take responsibility. Yehuda says, I'm responsible. Don't kill him. I'm responsible. How can he possibly cover up his blood? We cannot do this. Responsibility dictates that we take full responsibility for our actions. And if you can't take responsibility, ma bet sakinara gesachini, we can't do it. So therefore, that is Peshat over here, says Yibiruchim, Vayered, once you take responsibility, you're responsible for everything. And therefore, if you said, don't sell him, don't kill him, sell him, you're responsible for that as well. Why? If a person doesn't have children, it's sad. It's sad, Nebuch. But if a person has children, and he goes, and then he doesn't get married, okay, it's not becoming a mitzvah. If a person goes along and has a newborn baby and then murders a baby, or a person's pregnant and he takes a baby and he makes his wife, Rahman al-Islam, have a stillbirth, then he's a murderer. If you start a mitzvah, that is a new birth. That is a new beginning. You have taken leadership. That is your That is your game. That is your responsibility. You take it and don't do what has to be done. You are murdering that mitzvah. It's like taking a child and murdering the child. It's like taking a marriage and murdering your wife. Because that is a koyach of leadership. Leadership comes with a price. The price is, you take responsibility, kol hakavod to you. You can get a melech, and you can have Sayyid Chanan Yishol Vazaria, and you can be considered the hero. But you got to run with it all the way till the end. You can't drop the ball in the middle. That's this week's parasha. This week's parasha, Rabbi Isai, is all about leadership. It's all about how to become a melech. Perhaps, I want to say, perhaps this is Peshat over here. Tomor, it's my vote, and I'll be very happy if you tell other people this vote, and get feedback. Tomor said to Yehuda, I want three things from you. I want your signet ring, I want your cloak, and I want your stick. What is this all about? Rabbi Isai, Tomor knew, we're about to build up leaders. We're about to build up Klal Yisrael. We're about to build up Malachim. We're about to build up Mashiach. Who are our leaders? They need three principles. Number one, a signet ring. What's a signet ring? Taking responsibility. It's me. I am the one. Sod komi meni, like we talked about at the beginning. If there's any problem, come back to me. Don't blame it on the board. Don't blame it on your workers. I am the responsible one. The signet ring. I am signing on this. And if I can't sign on this, there's something wrong with my leadership. If I can't say, we killed Yosef because we thought that was a halacha, then we can't kill Yosef. You've got to be able to put your name to the paper. That's a signet ring. The second idea was, of leadership, is that leaders not necessarily have to be somebody who knows the end game, what's going to be at the end. You've got to do the maximum at that time. Sometimes all you have to do is dress the way that has to be done. Wear the clothing. Like Tomo, all she did was wear the clothing. That's all she could do. She couldn't force Yehuda, but she wore the clothing. All she did, dress the part. Sometimes leadership is all about is dressing the part, and everything else fits into place. That is the second lesson of leadership. The third lesson of leadership is a stick. A stick can help you, and if you're not careful, the stick can beat you. Leadership, if you know how you're doing it, you're doing it the correct way, you can take the stick and you can lean on the stick and it can help you walk. If not, it can be taken around and to beat you, and you can actually be losing out much more than if you wouldn't have the stick in the first place. Those are the three fundamentals of leadership. Taking responsibility, doing the best you can, dressing the part, and third of all, knowing that you are responsible. Therefore, if you do well, fine. If you don't do well, you could be beaten for what's going on over here. Those are the three fundamentals of leadership. And this is why, Rabbi Isai, I believe, in the middle of Parashas Yosef, Yosef is about to be king, gives the Torah a sheer klali of what leadership is all about. Yosef has been sold. Yosef thinks he's going to be the melech. That's all very nice. That's all Parashat Lamed Zayin. Parashat Lamed Tes is Yosef beginning to go into power. Yosef is beginning to go from level to level, from Potiphar's house into the jail, and is head of the jail, and eventually to become the king. It's all moving level to level, taking step by step responsibility of management, and taking responsibility of leadership, and eventually becoming the king. Says the Torah before that, I just want to tell you how to become a leader. And that is Parshas Tomor. That is Parshas Yehuda. That's all about knowing what to do, taking responsibility, going with it, and knowing that you've got to take it all the way until the very end. We should be zoicha be'ez Hashem. Take responsibility and be zoicha to the wonderful things that Torah promises us, and promise you, including Mashiach's King. Amen.